You're listening to the Mahogany Says Show with your host, Mahogany Silverain, on Blog Talk Radio, MahoganySilverain.net. War is coming, and no one knows it but Gwen. He has one mission, to stop his former coven from attacking the mundane. Only then can he return to his quiet life, until he meets a beautiful time traveler with bad news about the future. That was the goal. Her presence, however, complicates everything as matters with the mundane go from bad to worse. He can't turn a blind eye to their attraction, nor can he go back to normal without a price. He must find a way to save the world and have her, too. Pandora's Kiss, an Asian male black woman time travel fantasy romance by T.D. Bond. Available on Amazon in both Kindle and paperback. Get your copy today. Jolly Rancher, an erotic Christmas romance by best-selling author Sierra London. Diesel Conrad. She says they're enemies, but his gut says she belongs to him. Granted, he has forgotten some insignificant things in his life, like his own name, but he is certain of two things. One, she wants him. Two, he has the equipment to give her a very merry sleigh ride. Amanda Messy Mandy Murphy. All she wanted was a winter white vacation. But her sister's ex roped her into selling his ranch before Christmas. This arrogant, too gorgeous man is her personal bah humbug, or at least until the accident. Now he's convinced she belongs to him. She's going to need a Christmas miracle, and fast. Jolly Rancher, the number one bestseller by Sierra London, part of the Lunchtime Chronicles. Get your copy on Amazon today. Traditional romance author, Mahogany Silverain. Alejandro, the son of a Jaguar king, who doesn't want to be king. When he has a premonition of a human woman's fight with drug coyotes, he rushes to save her. He takes her on the run to keep her safe from the cartel, who mistakenly believe that she has stolen from them. Alejandro and Regina fall in love. However, when his father is killed by cartel enforcers, Alejandro is forced to become king. But Regina feels unworthy to be his queen. Can this reluctant Jaguar king lead his people, protect his homeland, and make Regina, a human, his queen? Passion's Pride, Alejandro, by romance author Mahogany Silverain. Available on Amazon. Get your copy today.
With me, right?
Yes, I am.
All right. Yay. Okay. without any further ado, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, let's see. I write, obviously, romance, fantasy romance, science fiction romance, paranormal romance, and soon to be contemporary romance. I'm getting all the romances.
Awesome.
And I love
it. Add to the repertoire there.
You know what? Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it is. And look, I love anime, so that colors a lot of what I do. I'm just going to warn y'all.
Well, I love anime, so
that. It may not always be obvious, but it finds its way in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just like her story. Yes, she did. I could see the anime aspect on some of them.
Oh,
I
you
most
do?
Definitely. Yeah.
I was waiting for someone to call me out on it and be like, hey, I see what you did there. Oh, I know that.
That's only because I watched anime too. It was like, oh, wait a minute. That's
right. Oh, man. Yeah. Pandora's Kiss was real. I was real shaking
yes.
that one.
Yep.
But it made sense, though, right?
But it does.
Yeah,
and that's a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm saying it's a great thing, especially for those who are anime lovers. I know I'm not the only one, so.
Yeah, the
definitely.
Anime lovers get chuckle at the joke, and everybody who doesn't know it just thinks it's just a part of the whole thing. They'll never know.
Well, I'm saying, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I just put the secret out there on flat.
Nah. No, it's fine. Yeah, I figure people are going to, you know, at some point notice, but, you know, I have my fun. Like I said, I'm waiting to see, have somebody call me out. No one ever does, so I'm like, okay, maybe they're not anime.
Well, yeah. I'm sure there are, but they're like, this fits, because it really does. In Pandora's Kiss, it does. Most definitely. So tell us a little bit about that without giving us spoilers, I know.
Yes. Well, it's a sexy time travel fantasy. I tell people, think about X-Men. The when I say think about X-Men, I'm thinking about the core of what X-Men is about, or the political intrigue and the the movement of the mutants as humankind is evolving, and we're learning how to deal with people who are powered or who are not, and what does that mean? And the fear that some people have, and then also the people who are just different, and they're trying to get with everyone and say, hey, I'm still a regular person too. You know, yes, I have this power. That doesn't mean I'm just going to randomly use it. And then what do our choices lead to if we choose to use our powers over someone else, versus if we decide to use our powers to assist someone? All of those choices, because I can imagine that being very seductive, to be able to do something that someone else can't. I mean, we have people who do that now.
Well, that's
people
true.
Who can,
and there are some real life people who can do stuff that, you know, the rest of us are like, I wish I could do that.
Right. People who have more charisma than others, more money than others, more whatever. So that's within our nature to sometimes take advantage. But I thought it was, but we don't always do that. So I wanted to tell a story where basically we're dealing with like the next level of human evolution and how we would do with that, and what people would, how some people would respond. And I'm telling it from the side of the powered in this aspect.
Okay.
Though I did get lots of ideas as I was writing this, so I probably will write a multiverse now.
See, and those are always good too. I will say that, especially with your character in this one and with the time travel, kind of, you know, thinking, I want you to add to this.
Yeah, but what if Oya chose somebody else?
Right.
How would it go?
How would that go? Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, I had that question too. I got at least 5 different ways it could have gone, and it would be a completely different story with some common elements. And that's why I think it would be fun to write those now. I'm not going to pull them all out in 1 year, so don't expect that, y'all.
But it's an idea.
I'm seriously tossing the idea around. Seriously.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah.
And if I do this, it would be somebody's kiss. That's what they will be. That would be the theme. Somebody's kiss. Matt's kiss.
Somebody's
Anya's
kiss.
Kiss. Lauren's
kiss. Yeah.
Somebody's kiss.
Now, will these all be women of color?
Well, not always, because I thought about doing Matt's kiss.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine how that goes down?
Now, that would be interesting.
Yeah, how did he get Oya to go along with that?
Right? So yeah,
I definitely have to think it over, but it would be cool. And who does he end up with?
It was. That would be cool. Yeah, give me an idea.
What if we're Queen? It'd be Queen's kiss. You know what I'm saying? And who would Queen do
exactly?
It?
And who's the one that's going to be with him? Yeah,
exactly. It need to be worth it reading all of them because all of them would have some core elements. Some
right.
of the people, if in some cases, all the people, and some of them different people. But the core
mm-hmm.
story would be the same, but because now they're the center of it and they're control of it, what happens now? How does it go down?
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
With those? There you go.
Yeah.
See?
Does quote unquote evil win?
Uh-huh.
Is
right?
Is it really evil? Is it really
evil? That would be interesting. I don't think anybody's ever done that where evil actually won. I mean,
I mean,
said, like, villains and stuff, but is it
yeah.
evil? Especially when
I mean, is
it's
it really
down for a reason. Yeah, who's really evil? The good person who has to do bad things to get things done? Or the bad person who does bad things to get things done?
I think people underestimate what it means to be a leader in a complex environment.
Yes. It really does. I don't think they understand once you've actually been in that position. You don't always have the opportunity to keep it above board. I mean, that would be great if you could, but I don't think anybody really can. It's like being in politics.
Yeah.
The same thing.
It's pretty nice.
You might have good intentions, but yes. But what do you have to compromise to get what you need done? So that's a good one.
I do not envy government people. I think
mm-mm.
they all need some fire crush.
Nope.
I don't envy them either.
Nope. I wouldn't want that. That'd be too much fire.
Right.
I'd be pushing that button.
You're right. It's too much. And so
it's
I tried to, and in Pandora's Kiss, I could have done more with it.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on... And like I said, as I explore the potential of the multiverse and maybe that we dig going deeper with the multiverse the government aspects and in other areas I did not get into because I was trying to keep the book in a certain page range because I thought getting out of hand. It almost got out of hand.
Well, yeah, you're right.
I could have added
great
another 100,000 words to it. Thank you.
Yeah, because I always know I'm going to get a great story with you when I read your book, and because I love to read novels. I don't know I'm really good at writing them, but if I can get
Thank
stuff
you.
Done in a little bit of time, I can. But I love yours because you just like go through every aspect of things, and you're like, it's like watching a movie. Like you don't want it to end, and then when it does, you're like, huh, I want some more. So at the end, it's like,
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah. It's like, there's got to be more. You know? And that's how you
books
are, even
funny.
Though they have a good ending. They just, you know, you get involved with the characters. I'll say that much.
Yeah, that's good. I'll tell you what's fun, though. Even though Pandora's Kiss doesn't have a lot of reviews, I don't know what's going on with that. It's just like, people are buying it, but they're not saying anything. And so I was like, oh, no. But I remember, I at least have this, I have Your Kind Words, of course. And then my editor on the invoice said, do more of this. Put up there.
She's like, oh, yeah.
So I was like,
okay,
this is
yeah.
cool. So she enjoyed it, too.
Yeah. Are you advertising it like a fantasy?
I am advertising it like a fantasy because even though it is romance, it's romance heavy, it's by
mm-hmm.
definition, it's more like romantic elements because it takes so long for the two of them to get in the same physical space. But I did
right.
introduce them, as you know, I introduced them early, but at the same time, not. So it's like you're waiting for them. I'm pretty sure you were like, when are they going to get in the same space?
Get together, right? But, yeah. But then that gives you that, you know, will they or won't they kind of thing. You know, and some people like that. I mean, I don't mind as long as they, you know, but it just kind of asking makes the heart grow fonder. And it's like, okay, these people got to get together. They have to be together.
Yes. You know what? Honestly, yeah, Pandora's Kiss really does move more like a movie. The way a action adventure movie should go, and the way I say should go, is if you're going to have, I'm sure we've all seen these romance movies, I mean, sorry, these action movies where the pairing is based on proximity, and then it seems like out of nowhere
right.
they're just falling in love and having a romance scene, and you're like, what is happening?
Right.
Yeah, I'm not ready.
We don't have time for this.
Yeah, exactly. That's a real answer. You're like, I don't have time for this. Get to the action. I mean, get to the action, but
right?
to the action. Why are we doing this now?
Yes, exactly. Right. I'm also an action movie buff, so yeah. When someone's chasing them and they're like getting ready to kiss, I'm like, you don't have time to kiss. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's
exactly.
Move.
Yeah. So, but and so that's why I enjoy. In writing this, I enjoyed writing it because it was the pacing that you could understand and you could see these two people getting together, the build up when you get together and when they actually get together, if you know what I mean, and the heartbreak and how it was a part of the story and it didn't necessarily from it, but it was just a part of it. That's what I was least going for anyway.
Yeah, because it wasn't, I thought it was great as far as just trying to, you know, because I like to see a relationship, you know, unfold over time, which is usually you can do that in a novel. You know, it's usually short books, you kind of have to pack it in. But yeah, when you read a novel, that's what you want. You want to see this relationship develop. You want to see them, the characters grow. And how this can actually for them to come together. And he's like, there's no one else for them. They just got to get together. And you can see the similarities in each, you know, the way each person is written. And I like that. So it works.
I'm glad.
It works. I really think it works. And so all my listeners out there, get this book. Pandora's Kiss, Mahogany Says, because this is a good book. I don't care if you're into fantasy or not, just the romance alone will get you. And if you're into the other sci-fi stuff like I am, as far as, like, you know, time travel stuff, yes, you will enjoy this, most definitely. And I know you've got some other books. So how many do you have now?
As TV Bond, I have 20 books. Yes, I have 20 books that are out and available.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah,
and, that,
and
I'm
working on two right now, though. So technically,
wow.
I'm working on three. Actively working on two.
Oh, okay. So how does that go? Writing more than one book at a time.
What I do is one book is my Monday through Friday, and the other book I work on the weekends. It seems to be going well so far. The reason why I'm doing that is because what's going on is I'm having so many projects that I'm getting really, really busy, and sometimes a story kind of gets to a lull, and I don't want to rush it because I know it needs to be. You know, I don't want to rush it. So that allows me to switch on to something else so that I can have a lot more stamina in writing it and not rushing through parts. Because there's nothing worse than when you get to that part in the book where you're like, yeah, they were bored here, weren't they? Or something like that. Or they rushed it.
Yes.
And they're like, why did it ending like that?
Like that, yes. Yeah, I hate to
because
rush.
A lot
here.
Of these
I don't like to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And these concepts that I'm starting to get come to me right now are a lot more complex. I don't know what that's about, but they are. So,
I see. Yeah, each one you write, it's like your writing grows and it gets better, and then you have more intense characters. At least that's how I see it. But I don't know if that's true with you. But you definitely.
And it's kind of crazy because I'm like, oh, what is happening here? I need to write faster if I'm going to be doing this.
You almost have to like record it on your phone so you can go ahead and write it later. At least you have a recording of how it's coming in your head.
You know what?
Yeah.
I actually can work that way for long. I can do that in certain areas, but I can get it like in spurts, a couple paragraphs or maybe half a chapter, because I actually can write all my books. Why? It's like the weirdest thing. It's like the first two books I wrote on my phone, but then I got carpal tunnels real bad. So then the only other way for me to do it was to start handwriting. Because for some odd reason, when I just stare at the keyboard, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm inconsistent that way. So I have to, but on paper, I think that's because that's how I started when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I'm able to produce more and I'm more consistent. So I got notebooks all over the place.
I did too.
My notebook. And I just write in it and then I type it up. Especially if I can't type on my phone. So I want to keep my hands. like I said, my first two books.
I'll record.
Well, you know what? I did try to do dictation and I got pretty good at it. And like I said, I can make changes. But one of the things about dictation is you have to really look at what came out because that AI on those, especially on Google Voice, sometimes it likes to put, especially if you have weird phrasing, things that it thinks you said. I've literally said exactly a certain phrase, but because another phrase is more popular, it put that instead. And I'm not the best orator in the world, but I actually enunciate fairly well, but it struggled with certain things like the word said. It all oftentimes put side or signed, even though I said said.
Said, yeah.
And then Southern accent words.
That
Dragon
software does that too. Yeah. It'll substitute words that think you said. It thinks you said, but it doesn't even make any sense.
Right. And so then you'll have like the weirdest, and that was one of the things, and Pandora's Kiss had a lot of weird stuff in it that I had to deal with. I kind of felt like it frustrated me, the editing process for Pandora's Kiss, because I did do so much dictation in it, especially towards the end, that I didn't do it with this next book. Well, you know, with this book that I'm working on now, I didn't even do it. Because I rather type slower than to do dictation and then have something in there super crazy that I missed.
Right. I know what you mean about the notes, and so I always write everything down. They may not all go together. I may have like chapter 5 over here and like the middle over here. So I have to kind of put all my notes together so I can make an outline. But sometimes I get the stuff before you make an outline. So do you make outlines or are you a panther?
I am a planter. So I am very much 100% that person who makes a plan and then totally deviates and then comes back to the plan. And so I have some like side quests on the way to the adventure. Yeah, I totally do that. It's just like a lot of times when I get lost and I always end up in Suffolk, which is a city in my area. Every time I got lost, I always end up in the same city. Even though I was in a different city when I started, I always end up in Suffolk. And I kind of feel like my writing is like that too. I use Trello, ironically, and so I'll have my little, it looks like little post-it notes, electronic post-it notes. So I put it all in there, and I move them all around, get my ideas, and then I do stuff totally different. Like in this story I'm working on now, I have totally deviated, and I'm like, whatever. I'll figure out how to come back.
Yeah, that can definitely happen, too. I try to stick with it, but sometimes it's the characters will just come up. and just like, where'd you come from? But then they'll have like the key to your plot in the story. Like, okay,
yes.
I can use that.
Mm-hmm. You know the ending of Pandora's Kiss was not supposed to go that way.
Ah.
Completely different. I don't want to tell you because I don't want people, I mean, I could tell you, but I don't want to like tell you, but I have,
yes,
I have another.
We don't want too many spoilers.
Yeah, it was basically like her secret was going to get found out, like in front of him, like in a battle, right? In the middle of a battle, the secret was supposed to get found out, which that sort of did happen, right? That part was the same,
right.
But that was supposed to happen towards the end, right? And then she was supposed to, it was going to be, of course, drama, but it was supposed to result in some final things happening to some other people. And then all of this, I don't know, going years and years and years, maybe, of doing these other things and coming back together and then doing all, it was just completely different. I like how it turned out. Because now when I listening to this rambling conversation I'm having, I'm like, that would have been boring.
That was not boring. But, you know, this is part of process. It's part of your process as a writer and an author. You never know when things are going to hit or when inspiration
starts. It is.
Or then you're like, you know what?
You're right.
You could be watching a movie or anything. You could be hanging out with someone else and all of a sudden you're like, that would work. I'd be like,
hang on a second. That is true. Plus, I write outlines before I get to know the characters anyway, so I think that's really what the problem is. It's kind of like pre-dating. It doesn't work. You can't pre-date.
You can't pre-date, yeah. But, see, it works for writing, though. It's just, you know. So you answered that question, which comes first, the plot of the character. So, yeah. And sometimes you will get a character first and then, oh, okay, what story can I put this character in? Has that happened?
I have had that happen. I have. I actually have, it's funny because I actually have a story that I put out the month before Pandora's Kiss, Friends with Benny's, and in that story, I accidentally decided what the next book's going to be. And the title of the next book and the characters and the heroine actually accidentally got an origin story in this book that I'm writing now. So the book that I'm writing now is going to be sitting there, and I'm sitting here like, what is happening? People are going to be like, it'll be interesting. I mean, I would definitely say, I'm not trying to be funny, but reading all of my books, because I have the Love, Sex, and Magic series, and then I have Paris in Springtime, and then, of course, I'm part of Once Upon a Villain. All of those are in the same world. People typically do not read my Love, Sex, and Magic series because it's multicultural. It's not interracial. So you got this is before I knew better. that you have to plan and prepare people. Because some people get their favorite coupling types and they don't like to go outside of that sometimes. And I didn't know that because I was just like, I read everything. Everybody else will too. No.
They
may,
not really.
They not. Sometimes you can get people to do that, and sometimes no. It takes effort, and that's something, maybe one day. But if you read all of them, then you realize,
I know. I have to really finish reading your Paris in Springtime. I know I've read a few, but, I like the ones that I've read. I didn't realize that you had more of them, that were part of the same. So now I'm going to look for it since you said that.
Well, I tell people, think of Paris in Springtime and even the Love, Sex, and Magic series as though you're in a city with other people. There are neighbors going on with their lives right now, and you don't know what they're doing until you see them on the street, and that's when you're sharing the same space, and you know what's going on, and then they're going to separate, and you're going to separate, and their lives will continue without you. And Paris in Springtime and Love, Sex, and Magic, and even Once Upon a Villain is just like that. Some of the characters interface with other characters from other books in a meaningful way. Sometimes they don't. Mm-hmm. Like, I have had advertisements for businesses for other characters. I've had characters order cabinets and things like that from other characters. I've had characters actually have a legitimate conversation with other ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've had just talking about characters. So, and the purpose for that is so that if a person does read them all, they can, you know, have be in on the inside joke. Yeah, I know this person. It's almost like you're the town gossip a little bit, where you know everything. If you read all
so
the books. But if you don't, that's cool. You don't have to. That's why. That's why I designed the world that way, so that if you did read it all, then you got that cup of tea. If you didn't, then you still had fun, and you didn't feel like you were missing anything.
Okay. Nice. That works. Because I really like what you did with Once Upon a Villain. Your characters, anything that came out about them, I'm going to read it. Because I know I read the Crisp one. I think that was the last one I read. And then you came out with a new one, Four Carrots.
Yeah.
And even though you said it's part of your Springtime in Paris, it's also Once Upon a Villain. And I was reading the blurb for it, and I was like, okay, I got to read this one because I read your other one. It had to do Once Upon a Villain. So, yeah. This
Did
is like going to be another good one. Yes. I really Yes, your undersea world was amazing. I know, and the purple. You got me. You got me with the purple.
Well, yeah, I heard her purple.
Yes. I love that character. She's just so outspoken and, you know, you can't mess with her.
You cannot.
But
she
I love
is
it.
So funny.
No. Yes.
She is so funny.
And I don't cut you to the quick if you say anything. You shit up there. I like that.
She was very sassy. I enjoy writing her, obviously.
Yeah.
Especially, my favorite part of Four Carrots has got to be when Tristan is concerned about the event, because, you know, they're going to go see Poseidon. And
right.
He's like, we're going to make a strong showing. We're not going to he was asking everybody, do you want to go? We don't have to go because we know this is just grandstanding. We can just show our faces and jet or whatever. And she's just like, no, I want to show you off. She's just like, I want him to see
you. Right. Well, shoot,
and
you're fine.
Like,
you want to be seen. Yeah.
She's like, I definitely want to be seen. I want him to see all of me and all of you.
Yep. No, I was going to ask about the baby, but is that a
They got the progeny has a nomenclature, a name. Yeah. There's a name.
Okay.
You almost saw the baby.
Mm-hmm.
You almost saw the Little Mermaid child. You did. You almost saw it in Friends with Benny's, but I had to back it out.
Yeah.
Because the timing was off.
Man.
That would have been fun,
okay.
though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been fun.
I'm going to find another place.
I like the title Friends with Benny because now, like, I use that. Is it the same Friends with Benny? It's like, yeah, Friends with Benny. People look at me like, what? So now I gotta use that phrase, right? Because it worked. It was really cute.
And you know what's funny too is because Benny's has a whole bunch of different spellings. I saw at least six, and I was like, oh my gosh. And so I was trying to pick the one that I liked best. And I settled with the Benny's that I ended up using, B-E-N-I-E-S. Because the first one was a little too troubling, and it was a little bit long when I was making the cover. So I was like, okay, we're just going to do
this. Let's cut this, right.
Yeah, we're just going to cut this.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's fun, too. I laugh a lot at those two.
I think. Yeah.
Of course, to be fair, I was on the cruise when I wrote that story.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, I was in Aruba.
No wonder you talk about the Murphys. You were actually on the boat in the middle of the ocean. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Think about it. You're writing about and you were on the ocean. That's the way to go.
Yeah, Dawn Ivanez and I went on a cruise.
Right? And Aruba, I haven't been there. How's that?
It was very lovely. It kind of looks like a desert island. I was not expecting that because when I think of islands, that was my first time out of the country. So when I think of islands, I think of just tropical. And I saw that it looked almost like Arizona a little bit.
Oh, wow.
But with
tropical
spice. Well, the plant life did. It was like a combination, like I said, like desert island. It was really good. Lots of rocks and sand and those little low trees that you think of.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I should say think of that you see when you're in a sandy area that's kind of dry. It rains for like 2 seconds there, and then it stops.
Mm-hmm.
Because we got off the boat and it rained on us for like literally 10 minutes and then it was a beautiful day the rest of the day. They said that's their rainy season.
Wow.
It says
10 minute rain.
Yes.
Oh, so that's how they actually get stuff to grow.
Right? Yeah, that was
a little bit of rain.
It's interesting because of the placement of their island, they don't get a lot of rain. And obviously they get mild weather, and so they don't really get hurricanes per se. I mean, they do get some tropical storms, but they don't really hit them because of their location. It hits them, but it's not the same intensity as the rest of us are getting because of their placement.
Wow.
Yeah, the ABCs. It's Aruba, Bonaire, and Curacao. Yeah, they get their weather is pretty much the same all year round. It's not a lot of variation.
And that's pretty good.
They were very interesting there too. I enjoyed it. That's a glossy
nice.
Picture.
Oh, good. I think I saw some of them that you had there, the ones with flower in your hair. That was pretty. So definitely.
Yes, I try to bring a little life to the books, a little bit of my life.
Yeah, it makes sense. We write what we know, so yeah.
That is true. You got sassy Ursula, you got Tristan, and his interesting way.
Yeah, Tristan, and yep, and the family. All the siblings and the relatives.
Yes.
But yeah, it's like I could see this being a movie too because of the way it's been set up. And, you know, it would be different from the actual, you know, what we've seen in the past about mermaids. So it would actually set a different, you know, actually a precedent for the regular or the typical mermaid movies. So I would think definitely you'd push whoever just in front of somebody's producer because that would be interesting. Even if it was a TV series, as a matter of fact, because you can do more with the series. And since you have a lot of people in the same area, but like the neighbors and stuff, how they all have their little stories. So listen to me, I'm trying to make a movie out of your book.
Yes, I'll take that.
You're right. You're not right. do this with Tristan. You can do that with us. That's because they're my favorite two characters.
You like, oh, they're your favorite?
Yeah,
I
they're my
love
favorite.
That was the first Once Upon a Villain story that I wrote. So,
yeah.
I was
ever since I read that was
book.
It. Yes.
I have always wanted to do... I always wanted to do a character like that and representing that. So when that
mm-hmm.
opportunity came, I was ready.
You're right. You jumped on that one.
Yes.
I was like, nobody else can write now. Nobody else can write this character. You know? Like, I know we have lots of villains, but y'all got to stay out the ocean because she got that.
Got it on lock. This is it. This
you got it on lock.
Happened.
Exactly. This is what happened. Nobody can touch
yeah.
that ground.
Exactly.
You got that everything. So, oh, yeah.
And it
allows that.
To also flesh out Brayden.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, I was able to flesh her out a lot in that book. And so, I had fun.
So is she in Four Carats?
Brayden? She is in Four Carats. Yeah.
Okay.
She was swimming with her.
Oh, I haven't read it yet, so that's why. I definitely put it on my list because anytime I see anything that has to do with, you know, Ursula and Tristan, I'm like, okay.
Oh,
no,
you about
okay.
to be hot.
Whatever
You're
I'm, whatever
hot
I'm reading, I'm going to, okay, I can say that for later because I got to finish it. Like I said, those are my favorite characters, so, yeah. Yeah, anything you can come up with that.
Highly amused. Yeah, you're going to be highly amused.
Yes. They are the couple. I mean,
yeah,
I have a favorite couple,
then,
but I would say... Out of my favorite couples, they're definitely in the top five because that's just.
Oh!
Yeah.
That's good. And you going to take two on them?
Yeah.
It's you like, were going to take two? Oh.
Yeah. See? That's what I'm saying. It's like you have your favorite couples, and so when you see them in other stories, it's like, oh, yeah. Because there's another one I have with L. Loren, a couple of her characters. But
mm-hmm.
and she also puts hers in different books. So it's great to see your couples like appear in other books. Because, you want to like, and we know it's not always happily ever after. So you want to see
right.
how, you know, they progress.
You
want to
know what
couple.
Happens afterwards.
It's like, okay.
Yeah. And that's another reason why I do have them show up in other books. Because.
Mm-hmm.
You get to see other elements, like what they look like, how are they a year after they've got their book ended? How are
mm-hmm.
they 5 years after their book ended? Things like that.
Right.
How is Tristan different?
Yeah.
How is Ursula different? Because it's almost
you,
like you're...
You've got two strong personalities, so yeah.
Well, yeah, don't do that. The opportunity for, I want to see them little mer
mm-hmm.
children.
Yes, most definitely. who turns out like home? So you want to
kind
of continue and how their lives change and develop and, that relationship grows. And I think it'll, just from reading what I have, I think it's going to go deeper. What then?
Oh, and
that's just my prediction, y'all. I don't really know, so I gotta read Four Carats.
Yeah, you gotta read it.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you enjoy yourself.
I think I will because I love those two. Cause that's like even we did the Christmas one. It's like a little sneak peek. Like there's gotta be more
right.
of this couple, I want to know what else is happening, But yeah. But before we lose time, I want you to tell my listeners where they can find your books. Wait a minute. For a quick moment, you do have another pen name, right?
Yeah, I do. I do have another pen name, but and those books aren't novels though. They're like notebooks and coloring books and things that are
oh, cool.
To distract your mind. Those kind of things,
mm-hmm.
journals and notebooks.
Okay. Nice.
So that one is Vanilla Mocha, if anyone is interested in knowing that. Vanilla Mocha.
Nice. Vanilla Mocha.
I gotta learn how to promote myself.
Yeah. I mean, you built up this brand, so I don't see any reason why you couldn't build it up. So that would be awesome. But anyway, tell my listeners where they can find you and if you have a website and your Facebook, et cetera.
Well, listeners of Mahogany, I am on Amazon, I am on Kobo, and I am on iBooks. And you can find me pretty much anywhere. Paris in Springtime is exclusive to Amazon. My site is
mm-hmm.
bondgirlblue.com, and you can find me on Facebook. You can find me on TikTok. TikTok, I'm on Never Stirred. I need followers. Y'all come,
right.
come follow me. I'll be acting a fool on daggone TikTok, be making videos.
Yes. I'll see you TikTok.
You can find me on YouTube. Google TV Bond. Y'all find me. I've been working hard. If you Google TV
yes.
Bond, you will find me.
Exactly. See, yeah. I say you'd be definitely easy to find. Because, yeah. But
I worked hard from the beginning.
And,
it did not happen.
And you did. So how long have you been doing this now?
I have been writing professionally since 2013.
Nice. That's awesome. And you've come a long way mm-hmm. since then. Definitely.
Yes. Thank you. I've been trying.
Oh, yeah.
I
watching some people when I go back through their catalog and see when they, you know, their first book and started, and you could definitely see a difference in how their writing has changed and how they approach
yeah.
things. It's really nice to see. I know a lot of readers may not do that, but I'm one reader who does. And I look back, because I do that with my own books, too.
Right.
You go back and
right,
say,
right.
What was I thinking, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah,
I do know what you mean. I do.
Yeah. So what has the publishing been like for you?
Publishing has been... I've learned a lot in the process, especially the last few years where I've directed my attentions less on just the fun of writing and passion projects and more on stories that I know people really want to check out and read.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've learned a lot about branding and marketing, and I've had people who've mentored me. Thank you, Sierra. I'm just saying. Sierra London has been very helpful to me.
Yes.
I'll read her book. But, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I played her commercial. I love her.
You know, we got the same birthday.
Really?
She's my birthday mate.
Nice. That's awesome.
I know, right? It's not too awesome. I find some out the same birthday.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
see?
I've been doing it for a while, and so I'm learning more how to tell a cohesive story and how to package my books. Another one that's kind of interesting is making sure that I put out a book frequently, but not so frequently I can't keep up. There's some people who
mm-hmm.
write really fast and put out a book a month. I am not that person, so if that's what you're thinking,
yeah,
I'm sorry. Still will enjoy my books, but I will not be putting out a book a month.
No, I tried that my first year, and boy, that was a lot. So, yeah, I can definitely understand that. But one more time, tell us your website.
BondGirlBlue.com, BondGirlBlue.com.
Nice. Okay, so I know we're coming to the end of the show, and I just wanted to say thank you all for listening, and thank you, TV Gone, for being, excuse me, on the air with us tonight, and I will continue reading, and I hope you guys do too. So I wish you all blessings, peace, and love, and happy holidays.
Yes, happy holidays, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
You have been listening to the Mahogany Says Show with your host, Mahogany Silverain, on Blog Talk Radio, mahoganysilverain.net. Thank you and good night.